You know, you can tell when something is off rhythm, can't you? When something doesn't feel right. When something doesn't sound right. You know, I have a friend who has a heart arrhythmia, and they said that they could just tell when it feels like their heart skips a beat. Or you can tell when somebody is singing and, God bless them, they just can't carry a tune. Are you with me? I think I was 5 years old and I tried out for the children's choir in my church growing up. You had to try out for it, okay? This was serious business. And I remember I had to sing Happy Birthday as part of my tryout. And the choir director grabbed my mom afterwards and said, listen, he can't be in the children's choir. He can't keep rhythm. On Happy Birthday, I mean, that's pretty bad. I think I'm the first kid in history to not make it into children's choir, you know? I mean, that's bad. But when something is off rhythm, it stands out. It's awkward. You know that it doesn't quite fit, that it misses the intent of the heart for it to skip a beat. It misses the intent of the music for it to not be sung in its proper way. You know, and this morning we want to talk about one of these baseline melodies for the follower of Jesus Christ. One of the core ways that you and I are to live in rhythm with God. It's this rhythm of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard, isn't it? I was reading some history this past week and reading some about the South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And I came across this story of this nation as it dealt with its own healing after apartheid. There was a South African woman who stood in this emotionally charged courtroom, listening to these white police officers acknowledge the atrocities that they had perpetrated in the name of apartheid. This officer acknowledged his responsibility in the death of her own son. Along with others, he had shot this 18-year-old boy at point-blank range. And then he and others partied while they burnt his body, turning it over and over again on the coals until it became nothing but ashes. If that's not enough, 8 years later, this same officer arrived at this woman's house and seized her husband. He took her, he took this man to a wood pile and bound him there and forced this wife to watch as they poured gasoline on him and allowed him as well to be killed in the fire. And the last words that her husband said to her as he lay there on this pile, forgive them. Now, this officer in this courtroom, these years later, looking at this woman in the face, the commissioners there, this South African Truth and Reconciliation Board, looked at this woman and asked her, what do you want to happen? I pause for a second and ask you, what would you have wanted to happen? But not all forgiveness is needed in such severe measures or severe extremes. Perhaps just this past week, someone at work or someone in your family said just that cutting thing that you know goes right to your heart. And even as you came to church this morning, you're dealing with what it means to have maybe bitterness, anger, frustration at what it looks like to forgive this person. And for others of us here this morning, it's not just what happened this week. Perhaps it's something that we've been carrying with us for years. And when we think of this person, or think of that time in our life past, our heart starts to skip a beat. Are you with me? Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is not easy. And we won't completely get into this aspect of forgiveness this morning. It'll be for another sermon, but it is not as if we are always innocents, correct? Oh, just me raised my hand here. There are times when we need to go and seek forgiveness because of the way we have acted. And don't give one of those apology non-apologies. You know what I'm talking about? The if I have done anything wrong apology. Have you ever heard an apology start with an if? It doesn't work. But you and I in our life must embrace what it means to enter into a rhythm of forgiveness as we seek it ourselves. It is literally the heartbeat of what it means to be a follower of God through Jesus Christ, to know and to offer forgiveness. This morning, we're continuing in our series on the Lord's Prayer. And as we said last week, to truly pray this prayer means to go from chaos to clarity in our life. It means we are taking a closer look at what it means to know and to follow Jesus. That it's a simple prayer that is not just meant as a mantra that we pray at a certain point in our worship services, but it is literally a prayer that we could live by. That when you and I repeat these words, we are saying to God, Lord, this is the life I want to live. The words of this prayer, the themes of this text, God, may this be true in my life. That's what we're saying. Every time we pray this prayer together, it's a prayer of trust in our Father. It's a prayer that says, you know how to meet my daily needs. Do you remember that last week? Do you trust Him to do it? It's a prayer that says, God, I know that you will deliver me. We'll talk about that next Sunday. And it's a prayer that says, Lord, teach me to live in the rhythm of receiving and releasing forgiveness. Receiving and releasing forgiveness. Our Father in heaven, in His intimate authority, asked you and I to submit to His kingdom come and His will be done in this prayer. And when we do so, our agenda is put to the side and His is lifted up, and we get to ultimately have our lives be syncopated in rhythm with Him. This rhythm of receiving and releasing forgiveness. This morning, we're going to look in Matthew's version of this text, in Matthew chapter 6, in Matthew's version of this prayer. And we want to look at verse 12 this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. As a way to enter into this text this morning, I'm going to ask us again, to repeat out loud together the Lord's Prayer as we pray. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Forgive us our debts. The first beat, if you will, in this rhythm of forgiveness. It's receiving the forgiveness that God offers to us. You know, Jesus went about His life and ministry, and He is often getting in trouble for doing things that seem shocking to us. And one of the things throughout Jesus' life that we see pop up in several instances is Jesus getting in trouble for offering forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins is one of the main reasons why the religious leaders around Jesus get so upset. Look with me just a few chapters later in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. This is just a chapter or two after the end of the Sermon on the Mount. As we see this wonderful scene in verse 1 of Jesus healing a paralytic man. And look at the words of Jesus. And getting into a boat, He crossed over and came to His own city. And behold, some people brought to Him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic,
Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and went home. And when the crowd saw it, they were so excited about Jesus. They were afraid. And they glorified God, who had given such authority to man. Jesus gets in trouble for saying your sins are forgiven. In him, forgiveness had come in the flesh. In him, Jesus was offering something new. Jesus was saying the forgiveness that God alone has and extends, you now see personified in me. That authority has been given to me in such a way that when I look out and say your sins are forgiven, it happens. That it's not just about me allowing people who can't walk to walk. It's not just about me giving sight to those that are blind. That it's not just about doing fanciful things like feeding thousands of people with a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread. But all these things put together point to the truth that I am God incarnate. And I have come with a singular mission to announce forgiveness. To announce that a new world is coming through me. In him, this new world is happening now. As we see in the rest of the Gospels, then, Jesus' life points himself always to the cross, to that place where he would take upon himself all our sins ever committed and the ones we got coming up tomorrow. You know you got some coming up tomorrow, right? That Jesus on the cross takes all these on himself. And is the perfect sacrifice, the perfect substitute that he desires that you and I, through trust, through simple faith in him, can have that forgiveness, can receive it in our life, that like he forgives the sins of the paralytic, that he can forgive the sins of Joe and Bob and Susan and Mike, that God loves to offer and extend forgiveness. The question is, will we receive it? Thaisa shared wonderfully in her testimony, understanding all these things about God and even trying to follow God in this world, but that there came a point when she recognized the need to confess and to trust in Jesus. The question for you this morning is, have you made that decision? Have you put your trust in him so that starting now, eternal life can begin? None of us, absolutely not one, is too far gone to receive this forgiveness. You know, Martin Luther, that great reformer, throughout much of his life had vivid dreams. Now, I have a lot of vivid dreams too, but they're usually about like cotton candy and weird things like that, you know. But Martin Luther would have these vivid dreams about his life and his eternal destiny and God and the devil at work. And there's a famous dream that Martin Luther shares. And in this dream, he sees the devil personified. And the devil comes up to Martin Luther with this scroll. And he unwinds this scroll and lays out for Martin Luther all of his sins, all of his debts. One by one. And in this dream, Martin Luther looks the devil in the eye and says, all you have is one? And the devil says, no, I don't. There's more. And he goes in the back and he comes back out with a second scroll. And he unwinds it. And a third scroll, and he unwinds it. And he goes line by line with Martin Luther, showing him all the places where he has fallen short of God's glory. Scroll after scroll, line after line. And he looks at Luther and he says, failure. Failure.
So Luther says to the devil in his dream,
pick up those scrolls. Get a pen. And with the pen, Luther writes on each scroll, oh, but for the blood of Jesus. Rolls it up. Oh, but for the blood of Jesus. Rolls it up. Oh, but for the blood of Jesus. The scrolls were eliminated because of what Christ had done. Have you received this same forgiveness? Have you received this wonderful rhythm of reception of goodness and grace and mercy that God offers you and I by simple faith in Him? That we recognize these debts, these sins, we can never pay back. Those words that we say can never be put back in our mouth. Those actions that we've committed against those that we even claim to love deeply that have hurt and scarred them, that they can never, ever be accounted for and atoned for in our own effort. That, oh, but for the blood of Jesus, they're forgiven. And even we believe this truth that we are even born in sin, that it's our state, that we've inherited it from our Father from long ago, and that we need intervention from the outside in order to be set free. This is part of what it means to know the rhythm of forgiveness in our life. We've breathed in this forgiveness, and we have felt it, and it has changed us. Receive it this morning. And I want to be clear, that is enough for your security forever. That is enough that in your dying breath, if you were to utter those words of trust and confession, God would offer His forgiveness. It is amazing. It boggles my mind. That's why we have amazing in front of the word grace, right? But for the life of the Christian, for the one who desires to follow after God in obedience, it's not the full rhythm. That we receive it. And if we hoard it, we haven't gotten what it's fully meant to do. That God means for us when we receive this forgiveness to do what? Offer and extend it to others. We receive and we release. Look with me back in chapter 6, verse 12 of Matthew's gospel. The first clause, forgive us our debts as we ourselves have forgiven our... Oh boy, here we go, Jesus. You got to be careful when a preacher goes from preaching to meddling, right? And it's like, Jesus, you had to go there. I was really tracking with you in this prayer up until now. I'll submit to your kingdom. Yes, you're a good father, and yeah, I like some daily food. And Lord knows I love to be forgiven when I've messed up. So it would have been nice to have a hard stop right there, right? Just me and Timothy, I guess. But Jesus says, when we pray this prayer, we say, Lord, we thank you for receiving, and Lord, we ourselves will forgive our debtors. And a couple things in that one little clause I want to highlight. First, in the order of that text, in the language, it pushes and emphasizes us. It says, and we ourselves forgive our debtors. In other words, the onus is put on us in an emphatic way. Okay? You, me, us. It is our calling. It is our responsibility. It is our privilege. It is how we stay syncopated in this rhythm of forgiveness in our life. You and I together offer it. Offer it. release people of debts. Now it's interesting that why the second observation here is why use this word debts?
You know, that's why we even have to make sure it's clear in the bulletin. Have you ever noticed that? It's like, use debts, you know? You know, trespasses sounds more sinny sounding. Does that make sense, you know?
So why does Matthew use this word debts? It was an Aramaic word that was often used synonymously with this idea of sin. And there's this theme in this first century Second Temple Judaism setting where this idea of sins were seen as a debt towards someone else. And it's supposed to echo back in the mind of you and I as we pray this prayer and as we think through what it means to be a people of forgiveness, something that was part of the nation of Israel's history when they were part of the law, as part of the law. It's Leviticus 25, 8 through 13. I want you to write that down. We won't read it this morning. But Leviticus 25, 8 through 13, I know you super spiritual people are doing your devotions in Leviticus this week. Right. Read that text this week. In Leviticus 25, 8 through 13, there is this wonderful picture of something called the year of Jubilee. And this is what it would mean. In the law, it was said that every seventh year, then especially in the 50th, the people of Israel were to give the land of Israel a rest. They were to not farm it for some time. They were to allow it to recuperate. And in the 50th year, this year of Jubilee, those that were debtors in prison would be released. Released every 50th year. It was a way of God kind of restarting for the nation of Israel their priorities. It was a reminder for the nation of Israel that the land that they were on was not ultimately theirs to possess, but that the land belonged to Yahweh, and it was His. And He apportioned it out upon tribe and clan and family, and that in this year of Jubilee, God resets the order of things and reminds His people of what it's about to feel rest and release from debts. Isn't it a beautiful thing? Do you know, historically, it cannot be proven that the nation of Israel even once practice this. Think of that. Think of how hard it is to release someone of debts when they owe you. In fact, it had gotten to such a point that there were even men and of the Jewish law who had found a way to weasel around this and were making arguments that this did not apply, that they did not have to seek to offer rest and release like this. And Jesus says, for you and I to forgive others the debts against us. He's calling us to live as people of Jubilee. Do you hear me? He's saying, live as people of rest and release from other people. In Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 4, verse 19, when Jesus is in the temple and He opens up the scroll of Isaiah and He points out to it, remember when He says, this is the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee. Jesus says, in me, in my life, in what I'm doing here and now on earth, I am bringing this time of release and rest to every captive and prisoner, that they could be set free. It's amazing. And Jesus asks you and I to offer it to others. This is hard, isn't it? What happens when you release someone of a debt they owe you? You have to absorb the loss, don't you? You know, that money just doesn't get made up out of nowhere. It's like, oh, Jesus, you know, I like this idea of forgiveness of sins, you know, but now you're getting in my pocket, Jesus, you know? Jesus says for you and I to release forgiveness to others and to not hold things against them, to not ask them to pay back debts that they will be unable to pay and to absorb the loss. And this is not cheap grace. This is costly, isn't it? Oftentimes, to forgive others like this, it is personally very costly for us. But don't forget what we just said. The forgiveness that Jesus offers us is not cheap grace, is it? The forgiveness that Jesus offers you and me through trust in Him did not come without a price. Are you with me this morning? That He gave of His own life so that we can be forgiven. And so then Jesus extends it and says, to live in rhythm with this forgiveness means you offer it to others. You know, oftentimes you and I have not found rest and release from the sins of others against us because we have not enjoyed and relished and appreciated the richness and the depths of God's forgiveness to us in Jesus Christ. And shame and guilt and not truly understanding the full manifestation of what the gospel means in our life, we've missed the opportunity to walk as people of forgiveness in this world. To be distinctively Christian, not just in a way that's excusive or that just tolerates the bad behavior of others, but that intentionally, costly offers the release of any debts. You know, in verses 14 and 15 of Matthew 6, Jesus makes clear that if you don't offer this forgiveness to others, you don't understand and you haven't really received the forgiveness that Jesus has given. That to know this truly means we will offer it willingly in our life. God does not require of us to collect every last penny that's due. Are you hearing me this morning? You've been wronged. I am without a doubt sure of it. God does not require of you and I to collect, especially at interests, to not demand more than was taken from us. But He invites us to release. Like the land got to rest, like debtors would be free, God calls you and I to offer this. And it is costly, and it is a hard thing, and there is nothing better and more freeing than to live like this. I want us to think about two ways practically that we could start to live and breathe into this rhythm of forgiveness in our life. The first is I want to give us a mindset of what this is going to take. And secondly, I want to give us just a daily practice that we could start doing. Okay, you with me? You with me now? We're going to apply this. First of all, this mindset. Understand that forgiveness, more often than not, is a long, hard journey. Do not hear from me this morning that say in your heart a prayer that I forgive so-and-so and you walk out here on the street of 57th and everything's okay. That oftentimes this walk of forgiveness is a long and it's a hard journey. It's one that you and I have to embrace sometimes daily. But it is a journey worth taking. And there is the hope that if you pursue it over the long haul, that you can be a person of poise and grace, even in the midst of the one who has done the worst against you. I want us to think in kind of three ways that we might have to process this forgiveness like this, this idea of it being a long journey. For some of us, there's things from our long ago past, sins that were committed against us or said to us, and we still harbor that pain. Are you with me? Don't push it to the side. Say, God, help me. Teach me how to forgive. Some of those people that have committed those sins against you may no longer even be on this earth. But yet you could still be a person of forgiveness. You could release them and entrust them to a good God.
For some of us, it's perhaps things in the more recent past, maybe in the last few weeks or months, something that was said to us, or a little nick that someone just did that just cut really deep. And you think you've gotten over it. Have you ever had one of those? You know, in our more stoic moments, I'm not offended, you know? Why should I be offended? But then you see the person down the hall, or they give you a call about some other matter at work, and your heart starts to skip a little bit. Are you with me? And you realize, Lord, I'm never forgiven, really. And Lord, if I have forgiven, Lord, you got to heal me now. Teach me what it means to absorb the loss of this debt and to love this sister, to love this brother. And for some of us, it's even more recent than that. For some of us, it was this morning. Maybe it's the person sitting next to you. We won't look. Don't look. Don't look. Nobody looks. Look straight ahead. Perhaps school this week where someone treated you badly and made an example. Perhaps in your family, that one person that knows how to bring up that one thing. Are you with me? And God tells us, even in those moments where it still may be hard to be in the presence of someone that is acting this way, that you could enter into the rhythm of forgiveness and ask God to empower you to release them of their debt, like he has released you. And that's the second point this morning, that you and I as well have this practical thing we are to do every day of our life once you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. And this is it: daily to thank God and bathe yourselves in the gospel of forgiveness that he's offered you. To constantly, daily remind yourselves of this gospel of forgiveness that he has offered to you so freely. And as he changes our mind and as he strengthens our mind to think even more deeply and richly about the forgiveness that we have before him, we will then be able to do what? Offer it to others. Remember Luther. There was no way he could have paid all those debts on those scrolls, are you with me? But for the blood of Jesus. You know, there's a story about a traveler, and he was making his way with a guide through this jungle-type environment. And they came to a shallow but wide river. And when they went through to the other side, up to their chests in water, they got out, and this man, this traveler, saw all over his torso and on his legs leeches. Now, I don't do bugs, okay? And so he did what no doubt most of us would want to do in that moment, right? Ah! You know? Screaming and grabbing, and he starts peeling at these leeches that are sucked onto his body. And so his guide stops him. His guide stops him from pulling the leeches off. And he tells him that if you pull them off like that, they leave just a little piece of themselves under the skin. And if you leave that under the skin for too long, infection starts to get in. He said, the way to get rid of the leeches is to take a warm balsam bath. And within minutes, these little creatures release. You know, when I've been significantly injured by another person, when you have, we can't simply just yank that injury from ourselves and expect bitterness and malice and emotion to be gone immediately. Are you with me? Resentment and anger and fear often will still linger under the surface if we treat it in such a dismissive way like this. You and I will only find freedom when we bathe ourselves in the soothing bath of God's forgiveness that he offers us. When I finally fathom the extent of God's love and grace and forgiveness of my own debts, I'm able to forgive others as a natural outflow, living in syncopated rhythm with forgiveness from God. Receive it. Release it. So as this woman stood in the courtroom and the Truth and Reconciliation Commission asked her this question, "What do you want?" The woman no doubt remembered those final words that her husband said to her. What were they? "Forgive them." She said the following, "I want three things." Listen to the strength and maturity. First, I want this officer to take me to the place where they burned my husband's body. I would like to gather up the dust and give him a decent funeral. Forgiveness of debts still means personal loss, doesn't it? She said, second, this man took my whole family away from me, my son and my husband, and I still have a lot of love to give. Twice a month, I would like for him to come to where I live, spend a day with me so that I could be a mother to him. Thirdly, I would like this officer to know that he is forgiven by God and that I forgive him too. That I would like someone to lead me right now to where he is seated so that I can embrace him and he can know that my forgiveness is real. And as this elderly woman was led across the courtroom, this man fainted, overwhelmed. Someone started singing Amazing Grace, and the whole courtroom started to join them. So this woman understood that to be reconciled with God and to be reconciled with your neighbors and your enemies is to be free indeed. Get in rhythm this morning. Receive that forgiveness if you have not already in Jesus. And release others of their debts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, God. Without you, apart from you, this is impossible. Lord, without you and apart from your supernatural work in our life through the Spirit of God, this is impossible to happen. And so, Lord, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we're dependent on you, Lord. We need your grace. God, we are thankful that, Lord, those of us here this morning that have put our trust in you know what it's like to be forgiven of debts and to not feel the need to try to earn our way back to you. But Lord, many of us this morning have known this for years, and we still struggle to extend it to others. Lord, help us to bathe ourselves in the goodness of your mercy and grace, and Lord, to offer it freely, and God, to willfully and intentionally go down what's often a long, hard journey of forgiveness. But knowing, Lord, that in the end, when all things are made new, that we will be at complete peace and rest and release in your presence. And Lord, we long for this day. We pray, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for these things in the name of the crucified, risen, ascended, interceding, and soon returning Son, Jesus, by the power of your Spirit. Amen.